Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Nailed it. Hey, everyone.
Hey there, Eric. Danny, can you hear me?
Danny, I think you might have a filter on. I think
I'm aware. I'm trying to remove it. My sister's here trying to help.
Are you?
I'm here live. Happening? I'm not a cat.
Are you sure? Because you look like a cat.
Derek, please roll it.
And welcome to another filtered episode of 12 Points from America,
Eurovision
podcast from America, the country that brought you crystal meth. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And I have to point out, crystal meth was invented in Japan.
Oh.
It was? Oh, we know. Huh.
I thought I was being all funny and
The most addictive things in the late 20th century began in Japan, didn't they?
Yeah, crystal meth, Pokemon.
You know what?
Yeah.
We do have, at least we have Crystal Method, the drag queen.
Oh, that is true.
So we can claim that, right?
Is the electronic group Crystal Method? Are they where are they from?
The Crystal Method.
We did do Crystal Pepsi.
But that's nothing to brag about.
Yeah.
Essentially going to be when America does like the America Vision Song Contest, it's just going to be the Crystal Pepsi version of Eurovision's Pepsi.
You know what? No shame. I liked Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what that tasted like.
Yeah. Well, I miss Mountain Dew Code Red. So
is that gone?
Pepsi Blue. Yeah. I remember Pepsi Blue. Anyway,
I miss OK Cola. It was OK.
Oh. Okay, soda was great. Speaking of things that are okay, Sam, hit it with the socials.
If you want to wax poetic about your favorite sodas that are no longer available in stores, hit us up on social media. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Or check out our Redbubble for some innovative and interesting and different kinds of swag that you would normally not be able to find elsewhere. So
hit us with those reviews. They really do help in terms of helping people find our show and check it out and get recommended and that sort of thing. So if you are enjoying the show, please be sure to hit those buttons that they always say to hit. I don't know what they are, but I imagine they're there. So hit them. Do it.
Good times.
We have a new burning question from, who is it from?
It is from Ian from the Philippines, who reached out to us on Twitter. Yeah.
What's up, Ian from the Philippines? Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Wow. Listeners from the Philippines.
Philippine himself.
God. So he had been chatting with us a little bit on Twitter about the upcoming episode of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, where they will be covering Eurovision. And he said, related to that, what is your favorite Eurovision parody moment? And that's a pretty big pool, I think.
Yeah. Can we turn off easy mode and say no love peace here?
Yeah
Okay, because I mean that's
favorite.
That's like 1A, that's a given, but like after that
is,
do we mean like external to the contest itself
or within the contest? I think there's some great joke entries within the contest. I know that like last week or the week before I mentioned that song Eurovision from the Belgian entry in 1980 that kind of made fun of the contest, and I thought that was great. But inside or outside of the contest,
I don't feel like I have deep enough of a well to plumb for this information. I feel like any parody that I encounter, though, will probably be more worthwhile than Fire Saga was. I can't say Fire Saga, even though it wasn't completely terrible. I don't know. Did Monty Python ever do a Eurovision thing?
They did, actually. They did. Yeah, they had a couple of mentions of it. The first time I ever heard the words Eurovision Song Contest was in the World Forum sketch, where they had Mao Zedong and Lenin and Marx answering questions in a game show style. And at one point, Mao Zedong rings in and says, "Sing, little birdie," when asked about Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson's song in 1959. So, yeah, they have. And then there was the Bing Tittle Tittle Bong sketch from the Euro Police Song Contest. Monty Python. Yeah, they touched on our beloved contest a handful of times. So, yeah, just look up either Euro Police Song Contest or Bing Tittle Tittle Bong.
See, well, and having not even seen them, I already say they're better than Eurovision Story of Fire Saga. Love it. Big fan.
Yeah. Derek, any favorites come to mind for you?
A couple things. This isn't quite parody of Eurovision, but it's a parody of Eurovision coverage, which is Linda Woodruff, who is just the best thing. If you don't know, Linda Woodruff is a character that... Sam, what's the name of the woman who plays?
Sarah Dawn Finer.
There we go.
Yeah.
She shows up in Swedish broadcasts and Melody Festival and things like that as a sort of very aloof, goofy journalist covering the contest. And she's hysterical. Just hysterical. She read the points for Sweden at least once as well, I think.
Oh, yes.
The other one, I think, has got to be Clemens Laconia covering every Slovenian Eurovision entry in a medley and in the different outfits and things like that. This was during EMA, the Slovenian national final last year. Absolutely fantastic.
You know, in my opinion, everything Clemens Laconia touches turns to gold. So I'm totally with you on that.
Do you think we might ever see him as a Eurovision performer somehow or more involved with the big contest itself?
Honestly, I think if Slovenia wins the show, Slovenia national television would be stupid not to have him host.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
They should and they could. Slovenia doesn't send bad songs.
They send underrated songs, I think. Yeah. But yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see what Anna Soklic brings us, what she brings us this year. So who knows?
I think the most obvious answer here is Father Ted, which gets way too much mileage for my lovely horse. I don't think a year goes by where I don't hear it mentioned at least a dozen times. So it did something right. I think one of the worst examples is the Stephen Colbert Eurovision song. He's America needs to get in on this and
puts
together the silliest show he could possibly think of. And it was obvious they didn't really watch the show or do any research into it at all.
Ah, you mean The Living Life by Nornas, which I'm pretty sure you could buy at IKEA.
Yeah. That's probably where they got the idea.
Yeah.
Ian, thank you. Thank you for the question. That was great. I haven't thought about the Clemens Laconia thing in a while, so now I have, and it's all because of you. Well, way to go.
I did have one more, and I'm really kind of sad just because I can't find it on YouTube anymore. It used to be available. I actually did a whole piece on ESC Insight about parody outside of the contest of Eurovision. And back in the early 90s, there was a show called The High Life that was a BBC production, only ran for like 6 episodes or so, but it starred a very, very young and fresh-faced Alan Cumming as a...
How young are we talking then? Was this like 84?
The High Life aired in 1994.
Okay.
So early mid-90s.
He was practically filming GoldenEye, Sam.
Okay, fine. All right, so, but he, at one point, he did an episode where he and two of his comrades in arms, I guess you could say, try to submit a song for Eurovision. And they come up with this song called Piff Paff Puff, which was just crazy and ridiculous and over the top and ended up with nil point. But just to have a young, fresh-faced Alan Cumming dancing around on stage going, piff, paff, puff, my heart goes piff, paff, puff, I want to have it off. It was
For some reason, I've heard this before. Piff, paff, puff really does ring a bell.
It was Junior Eurovision for France in 2019. Piff, paff, puff, piff,
paff, puff, paff, piff, paff. Yeah. I was going to say, is this just like the German version of Snap, Crackle, and Pop?
But yes, it's hard to find. I know that the clip that was on YouTube is no longer there and it breaks my heart. But if anybody who's listening to this can find a version of that episode.
I'll probably find it on Vimeo.
I'm going to have to do some digging. I think the episode is called Doug, D-U-G, and it's great. So if anybody can find that for me, he will have my undying respect. That is your assignment for the week, folks. Find that episode of The High Life for me.
Yeah, we're not going to do all the work for you. You do some of it, freeloaders. Yeah,
be a friend of the show. Do our job for us. So thank you again, Ian, for the question. That was great. Before we dive into what is going to be a lot of Eurovision news this week, holy crap, a lot of things have happened.
So much.
We did want to touch on a loss of the Eurovision family that we are really, really saddened to have to discuss and report, which is that Urs, the singer of Aveyesh, who sang Vislat Njar at the 2018 Eurovision Song Contest for Hungary, passed away last week at the age of 29. He had leukemia and lost his battle with that over the weekend this past week.
Yeah. Vishletnyar was an absolute revelation in 2018 in a contest where so many acts are in a bubble of pop or lightheartedness. Ersh and the rest of the Aveyash team came in full-throated, full-hearted, and just absolutely stormed the stage. It was impossible.
Absolutely incredible. Central European metal.
Yes, yes. And just unrestrained, unabashed. Behind the scenes, they were some of the nicest, friendliest guys, Ersh in particular, just happy to be there and really just put a smile on everybody's face who crossed their paths.
I know on the show, whenever we have done something related to years in the past or just things like, you know, I think we did a show just all about Hungary. We really appreciate this song. So it's a big loss to lose someone behind one of these songs that was very, very, very well liked by us.
Yeah, especially, you know, it's always hard to lose a member of the extended Eurovision family. But when you lose somebody at the age of 29, lose somebody who at least, you know, I briefly met, I don't know, Derek, if you did as well, behind the scenes.
The appearance at the contest was super recent and super prominent, too.
Yeah, yeah. And they had an incredibly promising trajectory. I think he was in the process of recording a solo album, and Aveyash was working on another album at the same time. They were performing and touring as much as one could back in, you know, the year that was 2020. Ersh Kuzunum, thank you so much for being you. And let's, everybody, crank up your volume. Let's play a clip of Vishletnyar.
Rock and roll. How great is it that that song has a key change, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
It's just so good. Godspeed to Ersh and best wishes and so on to his family. It's really a reminder. I feel like in the like pop music and European music communities, this has happened a couple of times already this year. Sophie, the indie pop singer, I think she was from Scotland. She was in her, I think, early 30s and just fell off a ladder and is now gone. It is always difficult to have these sort of reminders, but there is a value to having a reminder that we can go at any time and we're not really guaranteed anything. And so let's mourn, let's celebrate lives, and let's live our own to the fullest. Like I know Ersh did. I mean, Vishletnyar, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we shall pour one out for Ersh and then light that on fire. I think that would...
It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
Some of the only truly deserving pyrotechnics at Eurovision.
God. That's for sure.
Oh, so good. So all good. Right. All
and
right.
We do have a ton of news to get to.
Yeah, let's get to
let's
it.
Crack on.
Yes. Let's talk about the big picture of Eurovision. I know that songs and everything are coming together, but let's look at the actual production of the show itself.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, the folks from the EBU and from the Dutch broadcaster have announced that Eurovision will continue. We knew this was going to happen. It's just not going to be Eurovision as possible. They had outlined four potential scenarios for how this contest in 2021 was going to look. Scenario A, they were calling, was going to be business as usual. Everybody in the arena, everybody in the press center. That's not going to happen. We kind of knew that was going to be the case. But basically, they're saying scenario A is off the table, but they are focusing on what they're calling scenario B. So as many artists as possible as they can get into Rotterdam, into the Ahoy Arena, performing on site there. A limited in-person audience, modified local events around Rotterdam itself. A scaled back press center, probably about 500 maximum on site as opposed to the 1500 that are normally there, creating a virtual press center. That is the focus that they're going to be pushing for. However, they are keeping plans C and D on the back burner if necessary. So even further scaled back, no press arena, as many artists as they can recording from home studios and sending in sort of things like we saw at Junior Eurovision. There's going to be a contest. We don't know what it's going to look like. They're trying their damnedest to have something on site. So fingers crossed for what will be.
And I mean, I hope they can, just because one of the biggest things about winning Eurovision, the reason that you go for it, is that you get to showcase your country, you get to host. And I hope that whatever happens here, Rotterdam still gets to be, you know, a big part of the show and gets to be featured in the way that a host would. Obviously, it's not going to be exactly the same, since there aren't tens of thousands of people coming in to the city.
And what could they possibly be doing for the postcards?
Well, I think they were talking about that before, that they were going to have that little tiny house kind of in different spots all over the Netherlands, and the artists kind of beamed into the little tiny house. So they could still totally do that, and that's still safe to do. I think I actually just saw on Instagram that Vassal from North Macedonia will be recording, is in the midst of recording his. So that's still going on.
I'm so glad he's back, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I mean, in the great grand scheme of things, Rotterdam will be a host city of the Eurovision Song Contest this year. 200 million people watch the show. Only about, 10, 15,000, depending on the size of the arena, come in from out of the country to participate. It's really only a small segment of the population, filling up the arena and going in as press and things like that. Rotterdam will still always be the host city of 2020 and 2021.
2 years in a row.
I know. Yeah.
They did it, baby.
Yeah. I saw somebody note that Duncan Lawrence is the longest reigning Eurovision champion ever. Which is completely true.
He earned it.
Good for winningest. You, Duncan. Yeah. It's like a title belt.
Yeah.
Just doesn't have to defend it.
Yeah.
But it's his.
It's his.
Yeah. Hasn't had to give it up.
It's not like it's the Stanley Cup where, he can only have it for so long and then it, goes on to the next person. He's going to keep a trophy in his living room or his bathroom, wherever the hell he's keeping his trophy, whatever. I don't know what Duncan Lawrence does with this trophy. That's up to him. I don't know.
Where would you put your Eurovision trophy if you had one?
Oh, I'd do the same thing that Emma Thompson does with her Oscar.
Which is?
Go on.
I know that sounds suggestive, but when she was on QI, she said what she does with the Oscar, she puts it in the bathroom, which seems weird, but it's so that whenever guests are over, they can have a private moment with the Oscar where they can stand in front of the mirror and do a fake acceptance speech because she knows everyone wants to do it.
Oh, I totally would.
Oh, that's amazing.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, nobody's going to top that answer, so we can probably move on, I guess. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got?
I just have a quick notice again about the structure of the show. They are still announcing sponsors because, of course, the show doesn't really go on without sponsors.
Oh, right.
The EBU today announced that one of the official sponsors of the show will be...
Drumroll, please.
.com.
Booking.com.
Online travel agency. And all I could say to that is, read the damn room, people. Oh. I changed
their slogan to booking. No.
I mean.
Booking. Maybe next year.
Yeah, seriously. Shall we move on to the next bit of news before I just get more and more depressed?
Oh, yeah.
All right, somebody take it.
The Roop.
It's the Roop.
Roop.
Folks, the Roop won.
We knew. We knew.
I made a bet
last week about the Roop.
$25.
Yeah. Everyone pay up.
I didn't shake on anything, man.
Except I bet they would go. So
yeah. I mean, they won with a very Roopy song. So I feel like everyone who was supporting them last year would just be like, this is basically, I mean, it's mean to say, it's basically, the same song that they brought last year.
It is not.
But it's very Roopy. So... they're taking Roopiness to 2021.
Yep.
Indeed.
That's all.
Yeah.
And they're still number one in the odds. I find this difficult to believe.
They are still number one in the odds. The top hasn't really moved much since we talked about it. And again, it's early February, everyone. Odds are dumb, but they are winning the things. It is not the least bit surprising that the Roop took this. It is a little bit surprising how much they won by.
Oh, not surprising for me.
I mean,
oh,
yeah. The jury vote was just sort of a 12-10-8 sort of a points thing, and it won all of the jury stuff, but the there aren't really the margins there. The televote, on the other hand,
how do you say spanking in Lithuanian?
You tell us.
I don't speak Lithuanian. What do I know?
It was a lot to not a lot.
Yeah, they had 3 times as many votes as all of the other contestants combined. Is that how the calculation worked out?
I think that's about right. They had something like 77,000 votes, and second place was not a 5-digit number. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only say I think this is going to be diagnostic of future national finals that involve artists who were returning from last year who didn't get to compete. I think there is a ton of public sympathy behind just sending them again.
So much public symphony.
Public symphony. I think that's it. There's a bunch of people who probably would have said they deserve to go anyway based on this song, but I think there's a ton of people who were just always of the mind, if they give us something acceptable, they should just go again.
Well, we'll see what happens in Estonia with Uku Suviste and in Finland with Axel. They could have just selected the Roop internally and just gone ahead with it, but there's actually
internal Roop!
But there is actually some pretty decent reasoning for why they decided to had the full-on national final. Mm-hmm. It makes for great TV ratings.
It sure does.
Plus, a lot of the money that goes into the televote, a lot of that money gets siphoned into the delegation costs themselves. That money basically gets invested into the winning act.
Oh.
So when at the end of the show, the Roop was presented with a giant like Publisher's Clearinghouse style novelty check for like 5,000 euro. That came from the televote. And that would have gone to whoever won it. So it's a really, in a sort of minimal way, almost crowdfunding that would not have come up if they had just gone internally. So
it is a smaller country.
Did people have to pay to vote?
I think it's like a whatever the small...
Like a rate?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I will say I am really, really excited for Panda Bomb Is Now Yo for next year. I think that if the quality of the songs that even the also-rans for this year were still pretty solid. I think the interval acts in this year's shows were great.
Basil, if you're listening, do it.
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Do the thing.
Let's move on to a nearby country whose song I like better. It's Ukraine.
Ah.
Yes, their song is too long right now. It's Shum, by the way. Shum. It's about, just over 4 minutes. Right
they have
now.
To cut it down to shoe.
So they've cut it down to shoe. It is, this might be my favorite song so far to be, you know, to be held up as a Eurovision participant. This song is excessive. This song also isn't that new to our ears. Like, it's not like this song was unveiled.
It was shown off a couple of weeks ago as, hey, this is a new song from Goa. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the Eurovision song, but here's something to hold you over. And it seemed like the response was so overwhelmingly positive of people saying, send this, that they ended up putting it in the selection. And then they said, okay, here are the 3 songs of the selection. Shum is one of them. And everybody's like, Shum!
Shum, I exhort Shum, everyone Shum, to listen Shum, to Shum, Shum because Shum is like Solovey from last year, except now it's set in the universe of Cyberpunk 2077. Everyone sounds is glitchy. Going absolutely insane. It's very glitchy. There's a lot of neon. This song is absolutely wild. It builds. This is like a trance track from Run Lola Run. But unfortunately, it is over 4 minutes, so they're going to have to cut it down. It'll probably lessen the impact that its crazy buildup has. Listen to it. We'll see what the 3-minuter sounds
like. I hate to say it's repetitive enough because that sounds like it's a bad thing, but like it's kind of builds on the same sort of thing the whole time. So hopefully they can keep that build in some fashion with the 3-minute version, because it has this intense speed up thing like Voila, only this is like at a rave and not a funeral.
Yeah. in the way that techno builds on that, like it, mm-hmm. on a electronic ostinato, like it depends on just that. So to give it less time to work up feels like it's just not going to have the same impact as this version. But like I said, we'll see.
Yeah. Thing about Shroom, though, in its current state, not only does it have to be edited for time, there are a lot of people saying it needs to be edited for content as well. Shroom is very, very much based on a traditional Ukrainian springtime folk song, okay. like almost word for word.
Did they have copyright law back in the 1200s? Like, what's the problem?
It's not considered an original song in its current state.
Oh, I see. Okay. And every Eurovision song has to be substantively original. Yeah. I see. Okay.
So Shum is going to be reworked. However, this is a really, really good skeleton to be working on.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah.
But I feel like we can talk about this now. And then when we go ahead in a couple of months and talk about our preview episodes.
Go ahead.
Got him.
Nice. It's going to be like we're talking about Albania. It's the song that we have now isn't going to be the song that we've got in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this new thing is.
Yeah.
Shum 2.0. The Shum.
I mean, I hope they don't change it that much. I understand that because it is based on this traditional folk thing, that
it's not technically a completely original pop song, that
it has to be a new thing, whatever. But like folk music, as much as it doesn't sound like it, is a pillar of their music.
Oh yeah,
of their sound. It's the folk, and then like the industrial, and the EDM sort of stuff just sort of blend together. But it is still folk music. And so I'm sure they'll figure something out.
I mean, the folks in that band are nothing if they're not creative. I'm sure they will come out with something fabulous. And I'm not too concerned.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a new name on our list for the contest. Not necessarily one of the recycled artists from last year, but over in Germany.
Yes.
We've got Jedward
Kren Bolich.
If only. No, it is not Jedward Squidward. It is Jendrik Sigvart.
Yes, he'll be Jedward Squidward from now on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be representing Germany.
People don't really seem to know very much about the guy other than that he is young. He's from the north of Germany. He wrote his own song. He is the proud owner of a bedazzled ukulele and will get his song on Thursday the 25th.
Oh boy.
Did you watch his announcement video where he
is a chipper chap, isn't he?
He
pooped on by a seagull.
Yeah. This feels like it's going to be an artist for the TikTok generation.
Mm.
For better or worse. We'll see.
He seems sort of cheek pinchingly optimistic, and I can't tell if I find that joyous or if I'm gonna find that grating. I can't tell yet. I won't know until I have
If I feel like this guy has the potential to be very obnoxious.
You're too damn happy.
But we'll see.
I'm getting the vibe from him that I got from Nathan Trent from Austria in 2017. That sort of very
earnest.
Sort of gold, like earnest, like a golden retriever in human form. Mm. Sort of, hey, you know, I'm happy to be here. It's great. Hi, who's up for an interview? I got a ukulele, you know.
There didn't seem to be anything cynical about him.
No.
Like everything he did seemed very... like playful and kind of innocent, but I never got the impression it was dismissive or condescending or any of that.
Yeah,
like, he seemed genuinely happy. So
yeah,
he does seem excited.
I mean, real wouldn't you excited. Be?
I mean, yes, yeah. I feel like if I was doing Eurovision, especially if I was doing Eurovision at the age that he is, make a video. Oh, 12, okay.
No, that's Ben Dolich from last year. He was 10.
Yeah. I would probably end up making more or less the same extremely excited sort of video that he did.
Yep. Just so. Watch out for seagulls.
That's right. So good luck to Jedward Squidward on his song. I'm looking forward to hearing it. It really could be anything at this point, so that's exciting.
How much you want to bet it's going to be death metal?
With a ukulele.
Ooh.
He said the ukulele is definitely part of it.
I'm intrigued.
All right. Moving along, we have another case where we have heard a Eurovision song. We just don't know which one it is, because Blas Canto from España has released his songs. There are two of them. I'm going to stop saying things in Spanish because Sam's going to get mad, and I'm going to let Sam finish this part of the thing.
I'm sure you could have been able to handle this one. It's Memoria, so memory, and Voy a quedarme, or I'm going to stay. And Memoria is sort of an upbeat, mid-tempo to upbeat century. Voy a quedarme is a bit more of a traditional ballad, probably a little bit closer to Universo, maybe a bit slower than that. And yeah, it's him versus him in a head-to-head Blas-off.
It's a Blas-off.
It's a Blas-off. So yeah, voting is actually open for that, and that is internationally accessible if you want to vote from wherever you are in the world. Listen to the two songs and pick your favorite. So we'll find out by the end of the month which of the two is going.
Do we have a favorite amongst us? Have we listened to these? Do we have like one more than the other?
Oh, at I this have point? Not yet.
I've listened to them both just once through, and on first impressions, I prefer Voy a Quedarme, but I don't want to be dismissive. I hate being dismissive, at least this early in the game, but I don't think we're off to Madrid next year. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't mind being dismissive. I don't really like either of them, but I do think Voy a Quedarme is a better song. Honestly, I wasn't that high on Universo, and I like that more than either of these.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we'll see. I could definitely be a case of something's a grower or something like that. But on first listen, I like, yeah, Voy a Quedarme more, which is not to say I'm very high on either.
They're okay. Kind of surprised there's only two, though.
Yeah, me too. But
remind me, besides France, is this the second song selection that we have in from the automatic five?
Yep.
I believe so, yeah. We've
Italy's
got France.
Yet, and we won't have the UKs until, you know, April 30th.
Yeah, and who knows when the Netherlands will reveal their song, and we'll get the Italian one on March 6th at the end of Sanremo, but that's what we got so far for them.
Next, we've got one of my favorite countries every year to check out. It's Denmark.
Really,
folks, I want you to know the dream of the 80s is alive in Denmark. My goodness.
Yeah. As the day that we are recording this Wednesday, the Danish broadcaster has released all eight of the songs for DMGP, Dansk Melody Grand Prix, a name that they completely stole from the Norwegians.
Like a lot of other things.
Yeah. I will say, in Denmark's defense, good on them for having half of their entries actually in Danish and half in English. So three cheers for linguistic diversity.
Yeah, two languages. Wow.
You know, for Denmark, that's a lot.
No, it's, yeah, it
for
is.
For here, that's too many.
Yeah. It's a nice group. Not a really amazing song in the bunch, but there are some good ones. Silver Bullet by the Cosmic Twins is an interesting tune and a little bit different from regular Eurovision fodder. Sam, you and I both were pretty high on.
Yeah, if you can
go for it.
Sturlicher.
Sturlicher.
Oh, I was so not close.
Yeah, with Danish. With Danish, you basically have to swallow half the consonants and upchuck a whole bunch of extra vowels.
Sturli, what is it?
Yeah, the little circle over the A is like stool.
Stool?
Stor.
Oh, and it's Danish, so you have to have your voice creak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The G is silent in
Sturlicher.
Yeah. So anyway, well, standing right here by Emma Nicolene is basically what it translates to. Yeah. So that was my favorite. But
yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And we will have the official running of DMGP on March 6th.
That weekend is just going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be stacked.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's pretty typical, though.
Yeah. Beginning of March, especially those last couple of weekends.
Yeah, each week as we progress into March, everyone's going to have their homework turned in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. If you like that the trend of like retro 80s vibes that have shown up quite a few different times across the various national finals, mm-hmm. Denmark has like four of them. It's not subtle.
And if you liked Monsters by Sara Alto, there's one in here that I think
Heard.
Oh, yeah, it just straight up borrows the melody of the chorus. It's kind of gross. I would say it's more problematic than whatever they're going to have to do to Shum. I think. Anyway, we've got... Who do we
Let's
have?
Go to a place that's barely Europe. That's mean.
Yeah, Danny.
It's Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
They're literally on the border.
Yep.
We love you, Azerbaijan. Like,
they have six songs currently that we haven't run down to.
Yep. We do not have the actual songs per se, but we have their titles.
Yeah.
So we've got Mata Hari, which is not the Norwegian song from 79, unfortunately.
As far as we know.
79, was it? I think it was 79. Anyway. Once we're off of the recording here, I'm totally going to listen to Anne-Marie Strom again. Get my spangly jumpsuit and my sunglasses. Anyway, Mata Hari. Ratata.
It's Ratata from the first generation of Pokemon.
It's just Cleopatra, but she's singing about a Pokemon now.
My Ratata.
Two Pokemon jokes in this episode now. Two. Where else are you going to get that? Nowhere. It's
going
to take us 10 minutes to get through this list of six.
When I'm Gone, Manifesto, Breathing You, and Oh You Pretty. I believe it's Breathing Me, Breathing You, an ABBA cover.
All right. Who else has a joke?
It's a big reach. I don't think there's any content in the rest of them.
Yeah.
When I'm Gone is a Three Doors Down cover.
Okay. And Manifesto is basically just her reading Karl Marx.
I see. There we go. Yep.
Oh, that has my vote.
Just a dramatic reading of... Ironically, it's a reading of Das Kapital.
That's a twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to keep those juries on their toes, you know?
That's right. Exactly.
Mm.
No auto-tune either. It's gorgeous. So, in all honesty, do people get excited about... I don't mean to be super cynical about this, but do people get really excited about a list of songs that doesn't really mean anything?
I think at this point, we're just so excited to have anything after 2020. I think we are just grateful for every crumb, every scrap, every tiny little delectable morsel of information, especially from a country like Azerbaijan, which has given us Cleopatra and Guy in a Horse Head on a Ladder and, you know...
Tony Stark getting a new heart put in.
Yeah. Azerbaijan is Azerbaijan. And the first rule of Tautology Club is the first rule of Tautology Club.
I see. Yes. Is Azerbaijan just a Caucasus version of San Marino?
Basically. We've seen this before, though, in other countries. They'll tease out the name of the song and not give you anything else. I remember Gravity.
Yeah, but this is
Cyprus.
Eurovision, not a Doctor Who episode, you know?
They got to draw up interest somehow.
I suppose.
Yeah. They just put it out there. It's like, well, there's the song. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It just, like, I get it, but I look at this and if you look at it another way, it's just like, here's a list that's mostly songs that aren't going to be used. I don't know. It seems a little silly to me. I'm a curmudgeon, whatever.
But the thing is, we're talking about them, aren't we?
I guess, yeah.
That's how they get us.
No, we're not. Moving on. Croatia.
Croatia. Oh, Croatia.
Yes. They've been kind enough to give us 1-minute clips of all of the songs. Winner will be this weekend, basically.
The winner will be whatever Symphonics wrote.
Maybe.
Maybe. There's some competition this year. We have at least confirmation that the song Colors that we thought was going to be the song that we heard in demo years ago. It's the one! It's in there! That is the one that we thought it was. It's nice to see it finally see the light of day. I think Bernarda, in the 1-minute clip that we heard, I thought she sang it really, really well. I'm looking forward to seeing the full 3-minute version. But this is not a done deal. We cannot take this for granted. There's some other really great songs in the mix this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of talk about Nina Kralic.
Yep.
With Rijeka. Mm-hmm. Did I get that one right?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, got it.
Needs
and river. My favorite returning artist, Mia Nagovatich, who we've talked about, she's like a dream. And I got to say, the clip of that one sounds A-OK. I'm excited for that as well. I think that has a shot. What appears to be the finished version of Colors sounds awesome.
I cannot wait to hear it in full. I mean, I normally don't dive too deeply into the Croatian national finals, into Dora, but this might be one of those years where I will have at least 5 or 6 songs from the selection that will end up in my personal playlist.
Yeah.
So, yay. Dora, good on you.
Mm-hmm. 50-50 jury and televote for this, by the way. I don't know if that helps or hurts anyone in particular. It's maybe may just come down to the performances.
Meanwhile, in Norway,
Melody Grand Prix refuses to end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That Keem's is true. Keem's lonely voice weens week 4.
It's Keem. Keem ween.
Way to go, Keem. It was fine. I don't know. This was kind of a...
The meh week.
Yeah, this was an underwhelming heat, which is bound to happen when you have 30 of them, or whatever it is. Actually, this next one is the last one.
Yes.
Yeah, there's only one more.
Yeah, and to me, the reason that I'm most interested in Norway this weekend is we will see finally Rein Alexander, his full performance that we will see in the final, because he got an automatic fast pass to the final. Mm-hmm. We get to see what Rein is serving up after one last time. So I'm excited for that.
There are some interesting ones in this upcoming semifinal, and I want to highlight one in particular. I don't know how this is going to do. It seems like it's going to be tough to stage. It is in the mold of the weird recurring theme from last year, which is sounds like Billie Eilish. America with the song I Can't Escape.
I can't escape from America.
Oh, God.
That's
we're doing this again.
That's just it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is another mental health song. And this singer has a voice that is really, really captivating and kind of takes you on this journey talking about these sorts of mental health and anxiety, depression sorts of issues. Honestly, it kind of does that in the way that Barbara Pravi's song does, if I'm being honest. You really feel the emotions being expressed in the song to a special degree. Again, that said, this is going to be tough to stage. It's a lesser known artist, I think. It's hard to know how this is going to translate to a performance. But the song, again, it's called I Can't Escape, is really good. So that's the one that I'm going to be watching for when I tune in to MGP on Saturday. And I hope you will as well. If you're in Norway, maybe vote for it. Throwing my weight around here.
Well,
it's the tastemaker of all things Scandinavian.
That's right.
I mean, I feel like I can't even argue just because I'm not, I'm one of the few non-Norwegians on the cast of the show here. But I was actually a big fan of Rivers Coming Home, sort of a country folk entry that I just kind of gravitated to. So that was my personal pick for this week. But my eyes are really on Rein Alexander and Eyes Wide Open, the pre-qualified entry for this week. So, and then on Monday, we will have our second chance round for Melody Grand Prix, in which case all of the also-rans, the 3 songs from each heat that did not qualify.
The losers.
Yeah, well, basically, I wasn't going to say it, but you know. Yeah, so one will get a magical golden ticket and go to the final as well. And so we'll find that out on the 15th. And the final, the whole shebang, comes to a head on the 20th. So not this upcoming weekend, but the next. Exciting times.
Exciting times indeed.
So shall we hop over the border to Sweden?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Let's get this train wreck a-rolling.
All right. So we had our first semifinal of Melody Festivalen, the Grand Dame of the national finals, you could say. And the 2 that progressed directly to the final were Danny Saucedo with Dandy Danza, and his very Jamiroquai-esque.
He ripped that off, like, completely.
Yeah, like, I'm sure JK is filling out some lawsuit paperwork right now. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was that close to it. So Danny Saucedo is also joined in the grand final by Arvin Garna, who are straight through with Tänker inte alls gå hem, with the Second Chance. We had two entries going to a Second Chance round, and that'll be Paul Ray and Lila Sister. So that's who goes to that Second Chance round. But you may have noticed something interesting about Danny and Arvin Garner and Lila Sister and Paul Ray. All dudes.
Even Lil Sister. Dudes.
Yep. All dudes. All of the ladies got chopped.
Yeah.
Not happy with this.
They should have sung better.
Shut up, Derek. Somebody mute Derek.
No, they sang fine. Their songs were just bad.
I thought a couple of them were all right. Certainly one of them should have been in what is essentially the top half. This is weird.
Yeah.
Sweden, just take a seat. Think about what you've done. Fortunately, Daughter, the artist formerly known as Laser Boobs, is in this weekend's semifinal heat, whatever they're calling it over there in the Sweden. And she'll probably get through. I hope.
I would expect so. I've heard good things about her song.
Okay.
We will get a clip of that shortly, but on Saturday we will hear the full thing and see how she's staging it, and let's hope she has something as strong as Bulletproof.
That's good. I don't know. What's the song called?
So, yeah, Dalter's song is actually called Little Tot. Yes, Little Tot is in...
Like a tater tot?
Yeah, like a tater tot.
Aww.
Yeah, so...
Let me have your little tots.
Oh, man, I'm hungry now. Now
make a hot dish.
Yeah.
Singing for the Minnesotan Swedes.
Hey, yeah, they know the way to our hearts.
Yeah.
For where the Minnesotans were voting.
Fun little bit of trivia about Melody Festival and this weekend. The third song in the running order, which is Wall featuring Sami with the song, I can't remember how to say 90 in Swedish, but 90-talet, is the 1,000th Melody Festival song ever.
Wow.
So, yeah, since the show's premiere in 1959, the third song in the second semifinal will be the 1,000th Mellow song. That's pretty cool. What's the, was it not Gold Diamond anniversary or anything like that? What would 1,000 be? The confetti anniversary?
Like two diamonds.
Big ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get your own
real
moon.
Primo.
Yeah. A mummy. Just you get a mummy.
Nice. Well, congrats to them on their mummy.
All right, rolling on to the Balkans. We actually have two kind of similar stories from two different countries. Both Anna Soklic and the girls from Hurricane have both, even though they were both planning on having national finals, they have both announced that their songs will be chosen internally. So that's Anna Soklic for Slovenia and Hurricane for Serbia. They will be going fully internally.
Or were reasons given for these things? Like, were they just like, we talked it over and we can't trust you?
They might have just found a song they thought was really good and didn't want to risk it.
Yeah.
Oh?
It could have been that.
Or didn't want to pay for the show.
Well, they're still going to have a show, at least for Slovenia. They will still have a presentation program for Anna.
Coming out party.
It's the debutante ball.
Debutante? Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be most likely on February 27th. Unfortunately, Clemens Laconia is not listed as the host on that, so I may or may not tune in. I don't know. But we do know that Anna's song is not a ballad, and it will be in English. So it'll be completely different from Voda.
So it's going to be Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. I can't think of any other song that's not a ballad and is in English. Can you? No. So there you go.
Prove
congratulations, Anna Soklic, on your song that everyone's going to like. Why don't you give us a list of names that it's not?
Radioactive.
Voda. There you go. Yeah.
So that's a bit of news from Slovenia and Serbia. That's really all we got for the selection stuff. We've got other news, but this is the big stuff for the selections. And my God, there was a lot of it. So
yeah, wow.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, and it's just going to get busier. So in other news, a new brand spanking new video was released for France. Barbara Pravi's Voila now has a shiny new video to go along with it. And it is just as emotive as you would expect Voila to be.
Cool.
Okay.
If only it had just been the next, Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, but it's with Voila.
With the claymation and the dancing chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Really, really kind of changes the meaning of the song when you think about it.
It does. What's next?
Folks, we've got Mons news. That's right, Mons, the guy who's not in Eurovision anymore and hasn't been for several years. We have multiple bits of news on Mons because the folks demand it. He's like the prince of Eurovision. So whatever, yeah. Let's just talk about him. Mons and his runner-up from 2015, Polina Gagarina, are going to release a song called Circles and Squares for Sesame Street. Or no, wait, it's for it's for the ISU World of Figure Skating Championships.
I didn't know Mons was joining the
Wiggles. Yeah, that would be... That would be weird, man. it's going to be the official song of the World Figure Skating Championships 2021. Which is kind of cool. And it has been written by some big names. Mons himself. I'm going to butcher all of these. Stefan Orn. David Lindgren Zacharias. Sandra German. And John Aiden.
Yeah, so those are some... I believe Stefan Orn was behind the team for Running Scared. David Lindgren has been in Melody Festival a number of times. Mons, of course. And so it's a good pedigree there.
That's right. So I remember having a distinct reaction to reading about this news, which was that they were like, there are Eurovision winning songwriters working on the song. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I saw it's the guy who wrote Running Scared. And I was like,
oh, no. Oh.
I feel like I was lied to, even though I wasn't.
Now, if Louisa Sobral had written it, I would have been on board.
That would have been a git.
Oh, God.
That'd be a coup. My goodness. So in other Bonds news...
I got an email in my inbox this morning because I ended up on a list somehow. And I got...
this is starting to get dark. Hold on.
Right. I got word that Mons Emerlo has launched his own brand of cava. That's right. Spanish sparkling wine. It's called Ola MZ Cava, and it's now available in your local Systembolaget. So, yeah, if you're finding yourself wanting to get toasted in Sweden... go to your local liquor store and pick up some Mons Zimmerlo Cava. According to the tasting notes, it's fresh and appetizing taste with balance, with intense fruity notes and hints of green apples, pears, minerals, and citrus. Abundant mousse.
Minerals?
And persistent bubbles. We're talking about the cava, of course, not Mons.
But yeah, but like, give me those sweet, like sweet notes of mineral. Like, I can really taste the titanium.
I understand that these sorts of descriptions mean things to people, but I swear every time I read one of these, I just think, you. Like,
I'm the exact same way. People are like, oh, these wine tasting notes, it pairs with like a nice bouquet of blood and leather. And I'm like, get the hell out of here with this. This is so full of shit. I'm with you, Eric. I have absolutely no patience for these like fucking aromatherapy nuts and these wine assholes. Like,
all right, speaking as one of those wine assholes, I have a certification in being a wine asshole, so let me have this.
How was your time at Wine Asshole University, Sam?
It was delicious.
National Wine Asshole University.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Do we have a price point on this?
I mean, honestly, for Mons Cava, it's priceless.
So like 15 euro.
Yeah, but it's Sweden, so it's probably like 85 euros.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least 50.
Yeah, sell a kidney and away you go.
Yeah, well, you got to wait in line for a week anyway.
We should see if there's a way to get this into the United States, and then we can...
Oh, yeah, we have to do an episode about this.
Yeah, we can have some of it. I realize we're in four different locations and will be for the foreseeable future, but...
Four bottles.
Okay, well, there we go. That sounds good. 12 pints from America. Let's do it. All right.
All right.
So, support us on Patreon so we get wasted on Mons Zimmerlo Cava.
Yeah. We got to get that OnlyFans set up so we can get the Mons Cava.
Danny, get on this if you want.
I'm me.
Because you are the one that people were drooling over during Eurostream.
Oh, that's true. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we got your little wheel to spin.
If only
to
they
see
could see me now
on
this.
He's the same.
Dude, the beard is what they were going for, man.
Yeah. They were real excited about Danny on Eurostream. It was amazing.
We
have one more piece of news and we're never going to get to it. Yes, we are. Husovic got a thing. It got nominated for a Critics' Choice Award for
Best
Song.
Can you believe it?
The critics love the Hus, as they say. And apparently, this is true of a lot of things and it doesn't mean that much, obviously. But there is a shortlist for Best Song at the Oscars and Husovic is on it.
Now, I'm pretty sure that the shortlist is basically just like what the studios all submitted for the for your consideration. And then it gets like only the slightest of narrowing downs. I think just cut out all the things that just like don't qualify anyway.
Yeah, I think there were 15 songs on the shortlist, but considering that there were really only about 15 movies released in 2020, that really doesn't say a heck of a lot. But
this was better than some of them, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sad it's not Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Yeah. I'd love to see the meme of the year win the Oscars.
Oh, God.
I can just imagine Will Ferrell on stage at the Academy Awards.
Performing Ya Ya Ding Dong, yeah.
Performing Oscar-nominated song Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Singing to a room full of people at the Kodak Theater or wherever the heck they have it. My love for you is growing wide and long with a straight face in front of like Helen Mirren. Can you imagine?
Helen Mirren can do it. Wasn't she the one who did all those, like, racy modeling ads in, like, the 70s?
Oh, yeah. She probably still could. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I wish I was as cool as Helen Mirren.
Can you believe it? That's all the news.
For now.
For big for now.
They're going to drop 8 more songs tomorrow morning now that we've recorded. There's going to be, oh, yeah, by the way, Kazakhstan's in. Or
Turkey's back in.
Yeah, and you'll hear about it next week on 12 Points from America.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Until then, if you have something that we've missed or some other hot take on our hot takes, feel free to hit us up on social media, 12 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would genuinely love to hear from you. If you have a question that you want us to answer on our next episode, feel free to throw that at us as well. We love your questions. They are so much fun.
Doesn't even have to be Eurovision related. Ask me what my favorite flavor of LaCroix is.
What is your favorite flavor of LaCroix, Danny?
I can't choose between my children.
All right. We will get to that next week.
It sure isn't tangerine.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh. That's
okay.
Okay, that's my favorite, so shut up, Danny.
All right.
Here we go again.
But you love its subtle notes of minerals.
And on that note, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.
The cava is not Mons.
It's made from real extractive Mons.
Like the cava.
Oh, de Zermelo. Yeah.
From the pure.
It's vegan.
Freshly harvested bark skin of the Mons Zermelovia. Right. That's what they make herbal essences out of. Anyway.
Oh, so that when people like wash their hair with it, they like start moaning and everything?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. All right. That's why.
That's on brand.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah.